Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is May 30th, 2014. And with me is Brian Chaffin. Hey there, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going just like dang fine.
Sweet.
Yes. Sweet like a candy shop or something. And also, John Martellaro. How are you doing, John?
Good morning. I'm fine. It's a rainy, dreary morning in Denver, but I'm just great.
That's awesome that you're just great. Okay, so for today, I thought we would look at topics that are all kind of forward-thinking for Apple, especially since we have a Worldwide Developer Conference starting next week. So why don't we jump in with looking way forward? And what I'm doing is a very long-winded segue into a piece that you wrote yesterday, Brian, about how Eddie Q said that Apple is a company that has a 100-year plan.
Hold on. I just got a notification. That segue has been nominated for worst segue of 2014.
Considering some of the segues we've had on Apple Context Machine, that's like a badge of honor.
Fair enough. Yeah, so Eddie Q and Jimmy Iovine were up on stage at the Code Conference, effectively the day after Apple announced an acquisition of Jimmy Iovine's Beats Electronics and Beats Music. And the thing that I honed in on was Eddie Q talking about when he was pressed about the you know what kind of legacy is it to deal with, you know, how is it dealing with Steve Jobs and his legacy when he's no longer here? And his response to that touched on something that Steve Jobs told Walter Isaacson, which was that Steve had designed the company to last without him, to keep going without him. And Eddie put an actual number on that. He said that Steve designed the company to last for the next 100 or 200 years, referring to its culture of innovation. And that, of course, would be a remarkable feat if Apple can do it. But this is something that really resonated with me because of all of the Apple doubters and Tim Cook critics who have basically said that Apple can't do anything without Steve Jobs. So that means that Steve Jobs is supposedly awesome. Yet Steve Jobs said that he made Apple to last without him. You can't talk about how awesome he was without being willing to accept that he did what he said he did until proven otherwise.
Sure. Yeah. What Eddie said really flies in the face of what so many people have been saying. I don't want to say Apple bashers, but in some cases that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that Apple can't survive now that Steve is gone, then yeah, you have to at some point accept that he was not able to lead the company in a fashion where it could survive anyhow.
Yeah, there's a logical disconnect in this notion that Apple can't innovate without him, when he talked about specifically institutionalizing the culture of innovation. It's going to be a different innovation,
of course,
but this is logical disconnect that I don't get, that I can't wrap my head around.
I think, Brian, what happens is that people would prefer to see things in black and white in order to make their point. So if you're vaguely anti-Apple, you'd like to believe that with Steve gone, the company is going to disintegrate. And there isn't that level of nuance, that understanding that insiders at Apple have that percolates through the company. It's sort of like the founding of Hewlett-Packard before it went downhill. There was a strong instantiation of the character and the personalities of the founders, Hewlett and Packard, that drove that company to success for many years. So I think that in this case, you're exactly right, Brian. There has to be that nuanced understanding of how, even though the founder is gone and he's not in our face to remind us how great Apple is every day, there is that continuing influence that percolated out through the company that is so strong and was so but influential.
It's so much bigger than an influence. I mean, the Apple University is eventually going to be looked at as an astounding feat that I think most folks, of course, aren't even aware that it exists, but very few understand its purpose within Apple. And the notion of institutionalizing a culture of innovation and the notion of making sure that the principle of don't let the sales and marketing people take over, you know, these things are much more than an influence. It's much more of a institutionalized culture. And that's the thing that he said that he achieved. And I believe
he created Apple's DNA, and DNA is forever.
Yeah, there you go. And so now I guess we'll have to do a follow-up show in 100 years and 200 years just to see if Eddie Q was right.
All right, I'm done.
I'll put it on my schedule right away.
Excellent.
Okay, next topic I wanted
Wait, iCal doesn't go out that far. Oh.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get that in an update to OS 10. Yeah, speaking of OS 10, I want to take a look at an editorial that you wrote yesterday, John, where you were saying that it's time for OS 10 to get a kind of a facelift. And I'm curious as to why you think that is.
Well, I think facelift is exactly the right term. I knew right away that there were going to be people who would object to an article like this because they feel like OS X is sacred and it's the world's greatest GUI on top of Unix and it's just fine and it doesn't have to change. And the iOS is a relatively recent innovation. But I took a different perspective in that I don't think there needs to be equivalent functionality because these two products, Macintosh and iOS devices, do different things. They do them in different ways in different environments and have different functionality. And of course, the Mac is the supreme content creation tool. So there's certain things that have to be intrinsic to it. And because you have a small screen, small touch screen, there are things that are intrinsic to the way iOS works. And yet, I think that there are people who have their iPhones and their iPads, and they look at the Mac and they go, why are things like that? If Apple wants me to go out and buy an iMac now that I love my iPhone and my iPad, why am I confronted with these different icons? Why am I confronted with different ways of doing things? In those cases where it doesn't matter, where it's not a difference between touching the screen and using the mouse, why do they look so different? It's confusing to new users, and it's a little bit unsettling in the sense that Apple wants to look like they have their act together and everything comes from a common source. And then there's the new ideas about how GUI should look. And as time evolves, we come up with better technology, better frameworks. We have more Retina displays across the board. You can do more things. OS X was designed in the days when we had pretty primitive GPUs. So as time goes on, it makes sense to kind of clean up the UI, and why not make this family of products look more similar? That's basically what I was trying to say in the article.
Sure. I can see Apple. Well, we're already seeing hints of common elements as far as interfaces go. What I would like to see are some other fundamental changes, like things that have bothered me for years. Like if I'm working in an application, Apple deems it totally appropriate to take the focus from the window that I'm in and put it in another. So I may be typing, but not looking directly at the screen. And all of a sudden there's some sort of dialogue that's popped up. And now I'm just typing into the ether. I want Apple to fix things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's still a lot to do in OS X. still a lot to do.
Yeah, and I do feel like in many ways, while it's very advanced, it does feel primitive at the same time. So I'm ready for some changes, knowing full well that there will be things that I have issues with because I'm comfortable with the way things are now. And I think that's where a lot of complaints will come from. People are just comfortable with what they have.
And this is a surface kind of thing. This is not deep down. So there's no concern here about merging the two operating systems. They were designed to do different things. So we're not talking about IASification, and we're not talking about 2-in-1 Macs, where they have the same interface, but the different guts. This is just a cosmetic thing to make the family look more uniform. It's like the same company designed the products, maybe.
Sure. And I'm assuming that Apple is watching closely what's been happening at Microsoft, and that they won't make the mistakes that Microsoft has made with their unified-ish operating system approach. At least I hope they don't go down that path. That would be very bad.
Well, I think Microsoft went overboard. They tried to take a single OS with a single look and feel, the so-called old Metro look, and force it down the throat of mobility in order to perpetuate Office and Windows on a tablet environment. That was the entire agenda, and that, of course, was a disaster in my view. Apple's not anywhere near there.
That's a relief. Okay, there's another thing that I'd like to do before we wrap up today, and let's share some predictions we have for Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, which is coming in only a couple days. It's Friday today, and Apple's keynote is at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Monday, June 2nd. And I'm curious what you guys think is in store.
I think that Apple is going to finally announce that it's going to use its cash hoard to buy payday candy bars for the entire world.
Oh, and I'm lactose intolerant, so I don't get one. I always miss out on the fun stuff.
Sorry about that.
But that would make for great payday headlines. Apple's big
brands. Brian, it's been a long time since Apple's announced any new hardware. Do you think that they're going to try to use WWDC to catch up with all of these things we've been hearing about with new hardware? Is it sort of a one big giant Eddie Q, Tim Cook splurge of hardware? Or do you think that it's going to be more modest?
I think that the majority of the new products that are coming this year are coming this fall. I don't think we're going to see iWatch until the fall. I don't think we're going to see, you're certainly not going to see new iPhones until the fall. We may see some updated Macs, I suppose, but I've recently seen some of those rumors kiboshed as well. So I don't know, Apple's keynotes are usually an hour to an hour and a half long. Okay, this for sure. We know it's going to be two.
On their schedule, they have 2 hours blocked out.
All right, so up to 2 hours, because obviously they don't necessarily need to use that 2 hours. But whatever. So we've got 2 hours. We've got to see OS 10.10.10, and we've got to see iOS 8. And those things are going to take a good chunk of time. We're probably going to see this home automation initiative, which GigaOm said is really going to be more like an extension to the made for iPhone campaign or program. I don't know that we're going to get any major new hardware announcements.
I disagree, Brian. I have a feeling it's going to be a blockbuster announcement. Apple's been criticized for so long about the product development cycle, and there's been nothing new. And I think they've been working really hard behind the scenes to throw something out in this 2-hour keynote, and it's going to be publicly streamed that's just going to blow us away. And I just have a hunch that there's going to be something really big happening. And one of the other reasons why I think that's going to happen is because the stock split happens effectively Monday. Stockholders, as of close of business on June 2nd, if I'm correct, will be eligible for the 7-for-1 split about a week later. And so I think Apple's going to pour on the coals. The stock split announcement was was cleverly arranged so that when they came out with this blockbuster stuff on Monday and say, look, here's the whole world. You doubted us. You thought that, you know, we were just going to come out with a Retina MacBook Air and iOS 8 and just, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. I think we're going to see something so startling in the lines of home automation or iWatch that is going to set the world on its ears and prove to the world that Apple's been working really hard for the last couple of years.
Yeah, the home automation thing.
That's my hunch.
Could end up being a big deal. I actually think the GigaOhm's take is a lot more logical than not. But my problem with there being a lot of new hardware, especially something major like the iWatch, is that we haven't seen the kind of rumors that have gone hand in hand with new hardware from Apple for the last several years. And that's because Apple has to, you know, make so many of these units ahead of time that they end up leaking. The Mac Pro would be a significant exception to that, but that's also the lowest volume product that one of the lowest volume products that Apple makes.
I could argue that Apple, in anticipation of this important announcement, has done a better lockdown on security than before.
If it's a major consumer initiative, there are just too many hands involved for Apple to keep a secret. Just too many hands involved.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if they're going to make a big iWatch announcement at WWDC, I can't imagine that it includes hardware at the same time. Because, like Brian said, there haven't been enough leaks.
Well, they might make the announcement and talk about ship date, you know, the first week of September, and then go into production furiously at that point.
Yeah, it's possible. It's vaguely possible, mind you, that we would get the iWatch introduction from the standpoint of introducing it to developers, because this is going to be a major new platform. Remember, Tim Cook told us at the shareholder meeting that what they were working on, what they were cooking in Arizona, was going to have a new ecosystem attached to it. And new ecosystem means developers. And of course, we also know that Apple has been hiring all those people. We've discussed this, that Apple has been hiring people that seem like they would be more involved with the creation of a platform than they would be with the hardware. So it's vaguely possible we'll be introduced to the platform without the hardware being announced. But Apple doesn't do that very often.
No, that's more the Samsung way.
Yeah, but usually what Apple will do is it'll bring up to, say, 10 trusted developers on a few weeks ahead of time. And so that that there can be something to show on announcement day. Of course, I know maybe that's happened. I don't know, John. I mean, like, on the one hand, the fact that Apple's going to stream this thing and announce it ahead of time, that absolutely says that Apple anticipates this being a big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't have any color on where that big deal is coming from outside of this home automation leak that came from the Financial Times.
Well, that could be very big if they do it right. And that's why I'm not too hung up on the GigaOhm article, because I don't see that as definitive or authoritative on what Apple may have in mind in secret that they'd like to roll out in a big splash. So, you're right. It's probably going to be along the lines of home automation, but I wouldn't be surprised to see an iWatch announcement for developers to get ready for it and then swing into production rather quickly. Also, aren't we going to see
2% on an iWatch thing?
All right. Aren't we going to see Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre join Mr. Cook on stage too?
Yeah, you would think
that rumors for that too.
That they'd want to be introduced, or that Apple would want to introduce them to developers and maybe talk about some of that color, mm-hmm. or maybe add some color to that particular development.
Or maybe some initiative that they want to announce, like new Apple branded headphones or some sort of music initiative that they've been cooking.
Yeah, could be.
Could be. But keep in mind, Apple hasn't bought Beats. That's not till this fall. They've just announced that it's happening.
Ah, that's true.
But they can announce plans for it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I would say that we'll see some significant time dedicated to the speech purchase. I think there's a far greater chance of that than seeing anything like the iWatch.
What we won't see is an announcement of the iPhone 6, because if there were any discussion of that with the Sapphire display, it would kill the sales of the iPhone 5S and a little bit of 5C.
Correct.
And that's the last thing Apple wants to do right now is kill their great sales of the 5S. So
yeah, Apple's
that's going to stay under wraps until September.
Of course.
Right. All right. And on that point, I think it's time for us to wrap up. And I can't wait to see what happens on Monday. I actually really am excited about this developers conference keynote. So, Brian, thank you for joining me today. And John, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.